Blog Talk Radio.
David, are you there? I don't hear anything. I see people.
I think we lost David.
Well, good evening and happy new year to everyone out there. Well, welcome to, glad you're here with us this day. I know a lot of people are running around doing lots of things. My panelists have been quite busy also. But welcome to The Man's Voice. As we start the year off right, we want to hope that everyone had a very wonderful, happy Christmas and New Year's. So, hello, guys. Welcome and Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy New Year to all
happy
of you.
Happy New Year.
You're welcome. We also, as we start off this year, we're going to start off with a new panel member. His name is Jeremiah. Say hello, Jeremiah.
Hello, everyone.
Jeremiah will be the young guy, so we'll beat up on him a lot during as we move through the year. Well, 6 more days, and is it what, 6 more days before we are transitioning into President Trump. Did anyone see his tweet on New Year's Eve yesterday?
No, what did he say?
He said, "Happy New Year to all, including my many enemies and those who fought me and lost so badly they just don't know what to do. Love, Donald."
He would invite everybody to the table for dinner, and it would drive half the nation crazy.
Wow. What a tweet from a president. You know, a lot of those tweets that he's put out, if President Obama had tweeted that before he went in office, the world would have been crazy. I mean, we would have not known what to do. And, you know, we don't know what to do with this guy. But anyway, we got a few more days to go, so I thought we wouldn't beat up too much. We'll let that go. Although if you have seen the list of things that you're not allowed to take to the inauguration, I mean, you might as well just go with, you know, I think you're going to get searched, but you can't have
to go.
A lot
your
of, I mean, this is the list
basically.
Is crazy. Huh?
You have to go in your birthday suit, basically?
It's basically, this is what you're going to have to go, because there'll be nothing in there, I swear.
Yeah.
So, Jeremiah, what do you think about the Trump election? What are your views on that? I mean, we've all talked about it, so we kind of know where we are. But as someone who's only, you know, 28 years old, what do you see or foresee with this new president?
I mean, absolutely. At this point, we don't have a choice. All the voters voted for Trump. A lot of Republicans. I knew in the back of my mind that a lot of people wouldn't be okay, let's just say, with a woman president. He got voters because of that reason. And then also we've had a Democrat in office for 8 years, and, a lot of voters, you know, went towards the Republicans as far as certain things. But I just think that Trump is not the way we want to go going into our future, but in my future as well. But now we have to deal with it. So let's see what he does. Let's see how things play out.
All right.
I voted for Hillary myself, so.
Uh-oh. You put that out there, you're going to be in trouble.
Remember,
all right.
Remember, David, the prediction 8 months ago.
I know. At least, it's, you know, the way that he's thinking is, you know, probably one of the better way, you know, we're in it, we got to move it, let's just make the best of it and move on. I think that's the way most people are putting up with it right now.
And there's a few reasons why Democrats lost a lot of voters, and it actually helped Trump. But, I wouldn't get into that right now. But there's a few reasons why, and that kind of aided him to win this election.
You don't want to get into it, but I think we should. I mean, if you're going to say, if you're going to make those statements, you got to be able to back them up. So why do you say that?
as I stated earlier, for one, there's a lot of nationalities or religion that don't believe in having a woman president. So that's, I believe she lost hundreds of thousands of votes because of that reason. And then a lot of people, on the second thing is a lot of people felt like, okay, we gave you guys a black president, so now we can get what we want, you know. You know, Obama was elected into office twice, two consecutive terms. So that's one thing, you know. And, well, a lot of people say Republicans the Republicans wanted the Republican office because, you know, they want to stimulate the economy and all different kind of things that they say Republicans can do that Democrats don't.
So you're saying that you don't think President Obama stimulated any of the economy?
I think he has. But people think that because, you know, Trump has this business aspect of him being, you know, a businessman, that he can take things to higher heights, I would say. You know, to put the U.S., United States in a enormous surplus, I would say.
Kind of a logical way of looking at it. Frank, you want to make any comments about what Jeremiah is saying? Okay.
Who's Frank?
Frank is there. I don't know. He's not either. Okay. Well, all right. We'll get into that because we got the election coming up by next week. Actually, Saturday, the week before this show, we'll have the inauguration, and we'll probably have a whole lot more to talk about that. But
so, must be different than my dates, David. The inauguration is going to be the 20th of January.
Yeah. It should be.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I was thinking next week. I was thinking about something else. Anyway, all right. You're right. But, Frank, I was asking you, did you agree with what comments did you have on what Jeremiah was saying about what people saw and how Trump got elected?
I appreciate and agree with some of it, but the basic take for me is that Trump got elected. I mean, you can add the Democrats for 8 years, which he said, and I concur with. But the real attraction that he posed was the being discriminatory in his comments about different ethnic groups. I think that was his finest day and his finest attraction, and I think he appealed to the people of this nation. So the problem was that most people, in my mind, deny that they're bigots, and of course they deny to a further extent that they're racist, and they think that some people that may be of color just need to get over it. So I think that's his biggest appeal is to that, and then I believe now that he also appealed to people who think, because he's a businessman, that he's actually going to bring jobs back to America, manufacturing jobs back to America. But I think she failed to go out to the boondocks and talk to some people might call Joe Sixpack or the ordinary person in the rural areas, and let her know what she's going to do in the administration. And that may have been her mistake. But I think the biggest criteria is that Donald Trump applied to the low point of our people.
Okay. All right. I think as we get close to the inauguration, we'll do more. I mean, we talked a lot about Trump, but there's so many things to talk about. I mean, as we go into the new year. But there's this tradition of cooking black-eyed peas for New Year's Eve. Did anybody do that? Anybody make black-eyed peas?
Now, one of my traditions.
I've,
Actually, I saw so much postage about it on social media.
Black.
I haven't done it. Actually, my girlfriend says in her household it's necessary, so she's out at Winn-Dixie right now.
Is it for good luck or what?
Yeah, it's for good luck. Most people don't know why, but they know they do. I know that as I grew up, there was a tradition that you have to make black eyed peas. Not that everyone, we did it every year, but we knew that there was a big tradition. And I know that in some stores you can't get black eyed peas the closer it gets to, you know, the day before New Year's Eve, because everyone's out cooking them. And I know that it was a tradition that started during the Civil War, actually, because the North thought that black-eyed peas were for the animals, and so they didn't eat them, and they didn't take them. They took everything, but they didn't take it to black-eyed peas. So the only thing that everyone had in the South after the Northerners came through and wiped them out, the only thing they had to eat was black-eyed peas, and they thought that they were lucky because the black-eyed peas brought them, kept them alive, and that's kind of how that tradition started and went through. So I know that it's a Southern tradition, but it has grown. Most people across the United States now know that that is one of the things they do. Well, Bruce, what do you do for? You said you don't. That's not one of your traditions. But you
I think they're
one?
Called Hoppin' Johns.
Yeah, the Hoppin' Johns.
Well, what, David, first of all, how has it brought you good luck looking back over recent years or not?
The fact that I'm still here, I would say yes.
Well, yeah, vertical and breathing, that you can't quite count that.
Well, yes, you can.
Okay, all right.
But what kind of tradition do you have? Do you have one?
My traditions have been, and not so much wrapped around food, or it's more about trying to, you know, connect with friends and family around the holidays, and, you know, having good companionship and sharing food and drink and stories and all of that. So it's not so, for me, it hasn't been so much about a particular action, more about the people I try to spend it with.
Okay. What about you, Ron? Do you have any other tradition that you do, or do you, you know, buy into that, or what do you do?
No, I can't really say that I have any traditions. I like to, like Bruce, you know, when I can spend it with family and friends. This year I wasn't able to because I've got some kind of cold right now. So I just stayed home and bought barbecue meatballs from the local grocery store, made my own mashed potatoes, and that was my quiet dinner at home. And you know, I did buy a bottle of champagne and the grapes. I guess that's one of my traditions. But but I fell asleep before
midnight. And grapes?
You fell asleep?
Uh-huh. I fell asleep. I did.
Wow.
That's all right.
All right. You know, 2016 was like, you know, we could actually make a horror movie out of 2016, actually.
It was scary.
It was. There were a lot of murders and all. You know that Chicago ended up with 764 homicides for the year? And
756. 64?
764.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well,
51%? 51 or 53% increase over last year?
Yeah. New Orleans ended up with 176. I mean, if you go across the nation, it was mammoth in terms of killings and murders and all those kinds of things. So I'm hoping that as we get into 2017, we leave all that behind. But one of the things, I was talking to Ron, and I was telling Ron, we had a discussion on the most... the places that are considered the most dangerous are basically minority or African American in every city. And I said, that's not true. And he goes, well, that's what the news says. That's what the papers say. Because every time you see somebody killed, it's usually in the African American community. So they are the worst places to live, or you can't be afraid to go through those places. And I'm like, well, that's not really true. The press is giving, you know, for the year, the press has just been there. Ron, talk a little bit about that, because you were the ones that I was having the conversation with, and you said that that's how it's presented, you know, through the
newspaper.
Well,
yeah, I think that's how it's presented, even though it might be skewed, because obviously crime goes on in all neighborhoods, but for some reason, and I'm not saying 100% of the time, but a large majority of the time that you see killings, you know, at least down here in Miami, it's in the African-American community. So I don't know what the reason for that is. I don't know why. But, you know, obviously that presents and creates a perception that the African-American communities are more dangerous than other communities. And again, you know, I hate to generalize because, like I said, crime happens in any neighborhood. I mean, I've had crime happen here where I live, and there's some African-Americans that live here, but mostly not. So I'm not sure why the media, if it is the media that presents it in a skewed way like that. I wish Don were here with us tonight because I'm sure he's got some answers. But, I mean, am I looking at this wrong? I mean, I don't know if it's – I doubt that it's just Miami. I'm sure that in all major cities – When the news covers killings or whatever, I'm assuming that a lot of the time it's in the African American community. Is that a misstatement?
I would say
I would agree
nationally.
Can I jump in on that?
Yes.
Well, that was you, Ron, right?
Yes.
That is me. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I get continually annoyed at, and 2016 was the same, is I think the press of all shapes and sizes, internet, paper, radio, TV, etc., could play such a positive role or a role. And I almost get the point, and I don't care what side you're on, whether you like Fox, hate Fox, like ABC, NBC, hate them, whichever ones you feel are the most honest, none of them seem to be doing the right thing by us. They don't paint positive pictures. They only go deep enough to get a headline in a story, and they, by that action, I think many times fuel a lot of misconception and angst and anger and just the wrong impression when they could do so much to create a positive impression or the right impression for all of us. You imagine how things could be different if we just really got the unblemished, unbleached truth from these people? We just don't get it anymore. A lot of it, we just don't.
What do you think?
This is Frank.
I'm
just the opposite. I don't believe very much of what was just said in regard to the media. I think that people form their viewpoints, I guess what I'm beginning to understand, you know, based on what their political view is. But I don't think it's the media's job to polish up or to necessarily give out positive news. I think the media's job forms a great function in our country, and by reporting the news, and that allows us to be a free society. There are countries, you know, that take the news and slant it, politically slant it to whoever's in power. Russia, our great friends, do that, and there's other Middle Eastern countries that do that as well that have dictatorships. So this issue that we were talking about that's happening in poor communities, and I would rather phrase it as poor communities. They may happen to be black communities, but there's a higher incidence of crime in poor communities, and there's probably a higher incidence of not so good policing in a lot of these neighborhoods as well. So we have the factor of poverty. We have the factor of high unemployment, and we have the factor of discriminated, segregated housing, segregated schools, segregated communities. And I think, and plus in our society, we have not built a positive image in the non-media in regard to people of various different ethnic and background groups. I mean, we just haven't done it. I mean, Jesse Jackson a few years back got caught while living in Washington, D.C., saying that he was frightened when he took the trash out because he saw a black shadow and he assumed there was a black Afro-American person, and that was more frightening to him as a civil rights person than it would have been if that shadow had been whiter or lighter. So I think we, you know, part of our problem is the societal problem. We released people from plantations years ago without any money, without any education, for them to do it on their own. Some people have managed to do it on their own and done it well, while others have taken an exceedingly long time to get their act together. And I think the people that have an act problem and policing and poverty and unemployment are all symptoms of what's happening in cities. Now, by the way, the last thing I'll tell you is that when I did the research about 6 months ago on this, the higher incidence of this, and it was gun research. I didn't do crime research. I did gun research. And it showed the southern states had a high incidence of per capita. And D.C. and Chicago were considered by one political group to be problem areas, significant problem areas that had been quoted on Facebook. And reality was Mississippi per capita had a higher incidence of gun people being shot or killed by guns than Washington, D.C. and Chicago. So I think that Chicago is partly an area of neglect. If you look at where the crime statistics are, they're not in the entire area of Chicago. They're only in certain segments of Chicago. And if you look at who's in those segments of Chicago, you will see that they're probably predominantly minorities and predominantly Afro-Americans who were forced to live in those communities when they came up to the South. Because if they went out of those communities, people did bad things to them. So that's my story.
Yeah, but guys, why do we always make excuses for the press just reporting the negative? I wasn't saying paint or slant the news either way. Just give us the news. And I've worked in a lot of poor, as Frank mentioned, a lot of poor neighborhoods all my life. And there are quality people. There are quality things going on all the time. There are really great examples going on in really bad cities. And why can't we at least balance the message so people don't feel like it's a frickin' war zone everywhere you step? That's not true. It's not. And the press, many times, for whatever reason, wants to lean that way and present it that way for headlines or sensation or whatever, and it's not accurate. It's not balanced in the way of what's really going on in that community. And that's unfair to the people and the state and the community that it represents. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the media, at least the news media on TV, I don't know if they do the same in the cities where you guys live, but at least down here, they usually end a news segment with a positive story, with a lighthearted or a positive story that either makes you feel good or smile or, you know, something about compassion or neighbors caring for each other. And so I think, you know, that's a good thing because, like we've all said, the majority of the news that is presented is negative. But I think that's a symptom of what us as viewers want to see, you know. It's like when you see...
Go ahead. But let me ask you a question, Ron. Is the positive that they show from the same neighborhood as the negative that they showed?
I would say yes, a lot of times. not all the time, but I've seen positive stories from schools, for example, in the poor neighborhoods, and yes. So the answer is yes. But you know, it's like when we're driving down a highway and we see a horrible accident, most people that drive by want to slow down and take a look and see what happened. You know, that's just, I think that's just human nature. You know, so yes, the news, the media is just presenting what happens in our cities. But you know, I guess the fact of the matter is that a lot of what happens, you know, well, there is a lot of positive that goes on, but you know, I think people are more attracted to, you know, the killings, for example, you know, this yesterday or day before in Turkey, and you know, people like to read about that, I think.
Well, they do, guys, but do you think for 1 minute a good news section or a good news page or whatever you want to call it, some small portion of a newspaper or a nightly news, as you pointed out, wouldn't be welcomed as positive and wouldn't be attractive to people? I don't believe that. I do believe that people would enjoy that. We dwell on, and they have the power in that media, not you, not me, to influence us that way. And there is a lot of good things going on in very bad neighborhoods, as you pointed out, in the same neighborhoods that bad things are going on. But they just refuse to want to report that. And you always get the excuse from many editors that I've talked to that, well, that doesn't sell news. Well, I disagree. I think people would love to see a good news section or a good news portion of the news on a regular basis.
I've always thought there is a good news section in the newspaper, and everybody, a lot of people go to it right away. What do you think that is?
Hey, David.
What? Go ahead.
I just thought of something. I went to a graduation a few weeks ago, high school graduation, and it was one of the inner city schools, which is Miami Northwestern Senior High School. My niece was graduating from that high school. And as the director of public schools in Miami-Dade County and also the principal stated, they had the highest amount of graduates in years. And they had a few students accepted to Ivy League schools, a lot of great things. I didn't see any news cameras there. But let it would have been a shooting outside of the school. A 16-year-old kid shot, multiple wounded. I think it would have been on the news for sure. With that situation, I didn't see any news cameras there, any publicity about the achievements of the students, anything like that.
Why do you think that is? Is it because that the schools are not doing their due diligence and alerting the news, or the schools just know they're not going to show up, so they don't even try anymore?
I just know the director, Roberto Carvalho. He's great.
Yeah.
I've seen him at the hospital when children are shot in the inner city schools in Miami-Dade County. He spoke a great message at the graduation. I just think that the media, the news, they love negative stories. Nothing pays more than a negative story. So
who loves the negative stories are the people who buy the papers. They're trying to keep making money.
You would
think with papers, printed media struggling nowadays, that one of them would be smart enough to go out on a limb, so to speak. I don't even think it's that big of a gamble to say, look, we're going to do this. We're going to ramp up the good news in our town or everywhere we go. We're going to try it for 6 months, a year, whatever, and see if it somehow we get a positive reaction and an increase in our readership. What do they got to? They don't have anything to lose by trying that, and they just refuse.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're refusing because bottom line, it's all based on dollars.
Well,
it's all
if it is bottom line, wouldn't you want to try something different if what you're doing isn't working?
Well, there is a good part of the newspaper every day. There is a feel-good section, and unfortunately, we've everybody who are not in this subject matter go. But the sports section is what the newspapers now call their feel-good section, because that's where that's the positive part of the whole newspaper. Everything else is, you know, and you know, it depends on what's going on in sports, especially if your team is winning and stuff. That's where you go, and that's where people most. Men that I know go get a newspaper. The first thing they do is go to the sports section because that's where the positive is. So there might be some relation to we want to see positive stuff. So you might be right.
I go back to my statement that I think it's human nature and to want to know more about bad stuff than good stuff. And this, you know, I am a journalist. I worked locally at Channel 7 many, many years ago. And I'll never forget that the executive producer, while I was working that night, and I was a news writer, she got word that there was an emergency landing at the airport here, and she was like, she was so excited and was hoping that there would be a crash, because you know, I guess because everybody would be tuning in then to see what happened. And you can't deny that whenever there's, for example, a plane crash. You know, when the soccer team recently perished in that horrible plane crash, I mean, people want to know about that, and they're drawn to that, I think.
But are you telling me, Ron, that we can never change, that people can't enjoy a more positive see the positive things going on, too? We're in a rut that we don't want to change, and we're doing it to ourselves. It's stupid.
Well, actually, you know, here's an interesting tidbit. There's a website called the Dodo, D-O-D-O, like, you know, the Dodo bird.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I look at it every day because I'm in the business, you know, with a humane society. And so I go on there, and I see their animal stories, and they do a pretty darn good job. You know, I would say 50-50. Of, you know, positive stories mixed in with, you know, like survival stories that somebody, the other day I saw one that a dog was drowning in a frozen lake and somebody jumped in the frozen lake to save the dog. I mean, those are good stories. Those are positive stories. So if they can do it in that kind of media, I agree, Bruce. I mean, I don't know why TV can't do it, for example.
I like the Dodo because
Because I would say, Ron, what part of the Dodo's media thing did you go to first, and which one did you enjoy the most? I venture to say it was positive.
Yeah, it was the positive, and actually that's what I usually post on Facebook more is the positive. I mean, I will post. You know, the negative stuff sometimes when I want to bring people's attention to cruelty or something like that, for example.
Right.
But I post positive stuff because people like to see that. Especially I think when it comes to animals. Maybe with people it's different.
Yeah.
Correct.
I agree.
All right. Let's move on to you know, here at the Man's Voice, we're gonna have to, you know, stay ahead of things and bring up things, and I don't know how many people or how many men across the country are aware of this, but let me ask the panel, how many guys here know what man spreading is? Bruce, what is man spreading? Do you know?
Man, what is it? Man what?
Man spreading.
No, I don't know.
Do you know what it is, Ron?
I have no idea.
What about you, Jeremiah? You know what man spreading is?
No idea. I'm going to learn today, sir.
What about you, Frank? You know what man spreading is?
I do not.
Well, you might have already experienced it, or you might not. But it's usually the younger women, college girls, and things have all picked this up, and it's moving across the nation. I mean, it's in the news. It's moving. But what it is women feel that men have always thought they should be quiet, they should be small, they should be invisible, and so that's why men sit at chairs and stuff with their legs spread wide open, which doesn't give them much room to sit down. So when they get on the bus and they get on these places that are public, they're always complaining. The men's legs are always so wide that the women just have to sit in these little things. So women are now picked up where they will sit in these things and they will spread their legs like the men, so that the men will have less places to sit down and everything. So I thought that we should bring that up to say that if you've gone on a bus or something and you, this one girl was all excited about this guy. He had to sit on the edge of the bench because she had spread her legs, and he finally got to see how she felt when she rode the bus every day. So, you know, once things like this pick up, you could experience some of it. What do you think about that, Ron? Do you think that's, I think it's funny, but I think it's getting kind of over the top. But what do you think about this, Ron?
I think it's hilarious. I can't admit that I've ever heard of that. So I just learned something. Thank you, David. But,
I think I actually experienced it, actually.
Well, to each his own, I guess, is all I can say.
Well, it's moving. I mean, there are a lot of young, most of them are young girls who are doing this now, because we're not going to be invisible anymore. We're not going to be small. We're not going to sit down on a bench at a game and have to sit there and crouch ourselves because the men are taking up the whole bench. So they're all wanting to be equal in terms of that. So, well, what do you think about that, Jeremiah? Have you experienced it yet?
I hope it doesn't go too far, because it becomes a big thing, because I don't think it's important. But I can understand the woman's point of view with that situation. But we don't need it to be like a mannequin challenge or something like that, where it's so viral that it's taken over what people usually
do every
day. I think
it's going to get there. According to media, they think it's going to get as much as the what is the mannequin challenge? They think that it's going to get there.
Wow,
it's
crazy.
I know. I think so too. All right. One of the things that I, as we go into 2017, that I don't really, you know, one of the things I don't like are these judge shows, because I think they made a mockery of court practice. They made a mockery of law. You know, when did you have to go to court to be talked about and embarrassed and talked down to by a judge? This is my courtroom.
Right.
I think that in the courtroom, if we allow the shows where they're acting and they're performing for a camera to then go on into the regular courtrooms, it's going to be a mess. And I can see a lot of that going on now. To me, a judge is a judge. You study law, but when did you become a social worker? And when did you become a psychologist?
Exactly.
And when did you tell me I can't stand here and cross my arms, or I have to take, you don't like the way I look, so I need to leave? And, you know, it's gotten out of control. And I really hate these shows, because they're now, and they're actually giving me, or those of us that look at it, a good view of what's going on with our legal system right now. There's a lot of us who don't know, you know, it would cause me in court to be very antagonistic to the judge, because I would say, class yourself up, you know, I'm not here to be embarrassed by you. But anyway, what do you think about this, Bruce?
Well, I agree with you, David, these shows tend to want to make showmanship out of the court system, and that's not what it's supposed to be about. I sure wouldn't want to be in a situation where I need an attorney and sitting in court and having that kind of a major or minor circus going on my behalf or against me. It's just wrong. But it's all show. It becomes showmanship when they have these shows. I'm sure some of those, they either look for the judge that is kind of bombastic or does well on TV audience, or they script it out to him and say he or she should do this or do that or be a little more voice. There's probably even scripts that are written, and that's not what a court system is supposed to be about, plain and simple.
No, and I'm hoping that we somehow change that around, but I don't see it coming down anytime soon, because it seems to be getting stronger. There are more judges on TV now, and I don't understand why we're doing that. I don't understand.
You can even
yes.
refuse, David. A lot of people don't know that you can, in many cases, in many states, you can refuse if there's cameras in a courtroom. With the security and that, with people bringing things and guns and stuff in courtrooms now, maybe not anymore, but it used to be, you could tell them, I don't want cameras on. And they would do something else, but you had the right to deny camera coverage. But it may not be the case anymore. Even though it's not a show, you could even deny camera coverage.
Yeah, but, you know, I think they must be paying these people, because I can't understand why you would want to get up, you know, and make embarrass yourself like that.
David,
go ahead.
I'm thinking of it more of like the Maury show. Because, you know, these shows, they you tell them you have a problem, okay. Let's just say it's a maternity or, you know, a custody battle, whatever the case may be. It reminds me of Maury because, okay, they give you a nice little outfit to put on. They get your hair done to appear on the show. They probably pay you. And the judge is disrespecting or diminishing people every day. And I'm like, you know, why is this judge doing this? And it's just for publicity. It's just for ratings. It's just to make things even more interesting. It's like a soap opera, you know. You're watching something very different in a courtroom now versus, you know, 10 years ago, let's just say.
Right. All right. One of the things, you know, as we move on, those of you that are living in Florida, I'm going to send now my I'm telling you now to get out because the national NOAA, National Ocean whatever it is, they have said that by 2050, Miami will be basically underwater. And I was looking at the notes today where they're projecting the year. And so they're saying by 2050, there will be about $21 billion worth of cost in Miami to keep it repairing. Although Miami does all kinds of things, and the three cities that they're most concerned with by 2100, these cities will be the bottom of the ocean rather than the front of the ocean. They're saying Miami was be the first one, New Orleans will be the second one to go, and then New York City will be the third one to go. And they're projecting by 2100. For those of you guys living in Miami, Ron, you need to start thinking about moving.
Well, I've always wanted waterfront property, but I don't think I'll be around.
They're talking about underwater property. You already got waterfront.
David, he's being facetious.
What?
Beef up your insurance.
You can't get flood insurance in Miami. You cannot get flood insurance in Miami.
What I don't understand is that there's still people, including my two brothers, and including our president-elect, that don't believe in climate change and sea level rise. I mean, climate change has always existed. I mean, that's obvious. But there is sea level rise going on, and nobody can deny that. And 99% of the most respected scientists around the world agree with that. But yet some people still don't believe it. So, you know, I won't be around to see it. But, you know, I feel bad for the people that are around because I don't think it's going to be a pretty picture.
I agree with you. But, you know, Miami is they're projecting 2050 when actually the rest of the city is 2100 that will be underwater. So you're 50 years before everybody else because it seems to be rising faster down on the coast, you know, down on the east coast, southern east coast than anywhere else.
Right, and around the world, there's many, many cities that face the same threat. You know, including Amsterdam, for example. And it's just going to be catastrophic if it continues at this rate. So,
right, all right. For all of our listeners, again, this is the man's voice, and you could call in. Someone just called in, and then they left me.
Well, David,
76. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead,
I'd like to just add to that. Okay. We're in the Norfolk, Virginia area, which is basically below sea level. So, I went to a couple of presentations on this weather pattern issues. You know, the Catholic Church, the Pope has come out with a talk on that subject, with the script, a holy written thing on it. I think it's called La Daci. And we have evidence in our area. What the Navy did, underwater has to do with our defense, our ability to defend ourselves as a nation. The Navy, for instance, a while back has built piers that are now high-rise piers versus the normal-sized piers that you would see. And they did that because of the flooding issues. In our area, the last big rain we had four or five months ago, there were a number of neighborhoods that they had put in flood control, lakes, and et cetera, but new sections of those areas did, in fact, flood, and you know, they're still recovering from that. In fact, you know, we have FEMA in our area, et cetera. I noticed water. I live on a kind of incline, and water was up half that incline. I wasn't here. I was in Key West during the time, the last storm that came through. So we know that Hampton Roads, we know that Mississippi area, New Orleans, are areas that are going to see significant change patterns and significant flooding. But the issue is just like anything else, whether we want, you know, this is whether you want to hear the good news or the bad news and whether you want to do something about it. Now, the people in Holland have been doing something about it, and they have learned to mitigate the water. So they live in a pattern. We haven't done anything like what Holland has done in our Commonwealth of Virginia or anywhere along the East Coast. But
yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't think there's going to be many initiatives to come even close to what Holland is doing with Trump at the helm, unfortunately. But you know,
well, he has residents in Florida, but it's not that close down to South Florida, so. Right. I'm gonna move on, and you know, if you have some comments you'd like to make, or you want to join the conversation, call us here at The Man's Voice. We're at 646-668-8740 and join us in the conversation. One of the things we want to make sure is that as men, we stay healthy, because there's this thing. When I worked, one of my board members, she had several funeral homes, and she would always say, it's the end of the year. I have to beef up because at the end of the year, my business doubles. They've noticed that this happens every year. So she says around September, October, they start getting ready for the end of the year. And I've always, you know, I've heard recently that, you know, we've had lots of deaths this past in the 2016. What do you think that's all about? Bruce, a lot of people who pass away at the end of every year. This year, 2016 was a lot of entertainment, so it was more media had it bigger than usual because of all the artists that were dying. But it seems to be big every year because this lady had three funeral homes, and she said this has been happening for quite a while. At the end of every year, around September, from November, December, you know, her business almost doubles. What do you think that's about? Why do you think that happens every year at this time of year?
Well, and I don't think we get reminded of that, and the entertainers and the ones we all know as public figures are kind of paraded in front of us, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we want to know if they're here or gone. But in so many ways, and I'm guilty of it myself, we have not taken some of the basic things of keeping ourselves healthy in this country very well, whether it's the junk food we eat, whether it's the lack of exercise, whether it's a combination of both, whatever. And I can tell you, I've got an incentive from someone that has pushed me recently, and losing the 20 to 25 pounds I've lost has made a world of difference in how I feel about myself, you know, your confidence, even if you have great confidence, you lose weight unless you're one of the few that does not want to. You just feel better about yourself. You might still have to make a lot of improvements on what you're eating or how you're behaving or how you're exercising, but at least you feel you're making some real positive advances in the right way. And we, in this, our country, you look back on World War II vintage footage. I'm doing a research project on that right now, or even a couple of several decades ago, we didn't have the kinds of a lot of the problems we have now, and we've just got to get back to being more serious about being healthy. And
we do that all year round. Why is it at the end of the year that a large bulk of people pass away at the end of every year? Why is it November, December is, you know, the times that most people, but a lot of people pass away?
You really know that's true?
Based on talking to somebody in the funeral business, yes. And actually, I've noticed that myself in the last few years. There's always a lot of funeral. If you look in the newspaper and you do some research, you'll see that there are more people who pass away around these holidays.
Indulgence, all kinds of things maybe that get ramped up that during the year you don't have. There are little things can mean a lot in someone's life that might affect it that drastically. Who knows?
Well, it's also the time that most psychologists and psychiatrists will say is the time that people are most depressed during this period of time.
Right, right.
Yep. So I don't know if all this has to do with some type of scientific, science or something, or the moon is closer to whatever, the earth, or it pulls away and gravity and all those kinds of things. I don't know what that is, but I do know I think it's something that now I want to keep up with it and see what's going on with it. But it is something that I found very interesting because of all the deaths that happened recently. But when I had a board member who owned 3 funeral homes and she was saying it's been this way for a while, she always has this time of year. That's her busiest time because it always happens at the end of the year. And some of these people are healthy people. It's just that something's going on during this period of time, and I don't know what it is. That's what I'm trying to find out. What about you, Ron? Do you have any ideas?
The only thing that I could think of is, the holidays is a very stressful time. It is for me. Even though
right.
I love the holidays and I love spending time with my family and friends, it is stressful because, I create the stress. I have to admit it. But, I have a list of, people that I got to get stuff for, and I got to make sure it's the right stuff. And then, going shopping is stressful. It's just a very stressful time of the year. I think that may play a role in it.
Right. All right. Well, we here at the Men's Voice want to make sure that all our listeners are healthy throughout 2017. So I'm going to go through some things, some myths, or some positives that we've been told and see if we understand them. Let me ask a question one by one. Jeremiah, is it true that sugar makes kids hyper? Do you think that's true? Hello?
Sorry about that.
Hello?
Yes, I believe that's true. Yes.
There you are. You think that's a true statement?
Yes.
Okay, the answer is no, it isn't. This myth started back in 1970 when there was a doctor who wrote in the American Academy of Pediatrics that sugar leads to hyperactivity. But since that time, they've done some research and they found out that the additives and dyes added to foods have the same effect or small. They do not account for most cases of ADHD. The way people have been saying they are, and they found they have no effect on the behavior or cognitive performance of children. So that's just something I want to make sure we all think, because I would say, matter of fact, I even said give this kid some sugar, and a little while later he's running all over the place. But they're saying doesn't have any effect. So I'm only going by what the people are telling.
Probably not the effect that the higher percentage that we expect. Maybe we're thinking like it's like 85-90% of why the child's more active or behaving a certain way because they've eaten candy or whatever the case may be. But I wouldn't say it would be to like 85-90%. I still think it's a factor. It might be a smaller percentage, but it's a factor.
The researchers are saying no, it's not.
And I saw that study about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It came out, study on that. It was published that it indicated just what you said, David. But you know, one of our conversations we have to deal with is why do we believe what we believe, you know?
Right.
And particularly now, since we've got a new administration coming into office that's counter to some people's intuition, we believe stuff that we believe, and whether Florida's going to be gone in 20 years or New York City, or whether sugar affects a child, or whether black eyed peas will make you more fortunate through the year.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Or whether, you know, minorities or black folks have more crime than others. Guns or don't shoot each other, don't shoot people. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that we believe that some outsiders would look and laugh. Okay. So I think we ought to deal with that sometime in the show.
Right. I think so too. But let me ask you this question, Ron.
Like for instance, the president-elect doesn't believe that it's a big thing if the Russians did, you know, hack everybody's email for a given purpose. Okay.
Right.
You know, some people don't believe that there was a Holocaust, you know, that type of thing.
All right. Well, we've only got like 3 minutes left. Let me get a couple of these in. Ron, do you believe cough syrup works? When you go to the store to buy cough syrup, do you think that it works? Is it good for you?
Cough syrup?
Yes. Do you think when you have a cough and you go to the store to buy cough syrup, do you think it works?
It works on me.
It's all in your mind. They're saying that researchers published a conclusion that syrups typically do not work. Across-the-counter medicines don't work for coughs. They contain codeine and antihistamines, which gives you some kind of a feeling, but it doesn't stop your cough. The only thing is prescription cough
suppresses
depressant.
It probably.
Yeah, but it doesn't really do anything. We've always heard that olive oil will help prevent heart disease. Bruce, do you think that's true?
What prevents heart disease?
Olive oil, that if you eat olive oil is better than the other oils, I mean, canola oil or vegetable oil. Do you think that olive oil will help prevent?
You have heard that for a while, that olive oil, if you want any kind of oil substance to fry in a pan or something, that's a better choice.
Right.
But, the way you're stacking everything against us, I'd almost want to say no, but I would say yes. It's a better choice than a number of other things out there. They say coconut oil is even better.
You're right. Olive oil. The answer to the question is yes. It does help.
All right.
Finally, we got one or something.
Yeah.
Well, here, do sugary soft drinks lead to diabetes? Jeremiah,
no.
Answer that. Do you think so?
I mean, it's a combination of things. I believe it's a factor. Yes, it is a factor, but I don't believe that's the sole reason of experiencing diabetes type 1 or 2.
The answer to the question is yes, it does. It's associated with type 2 diabetes, as a matter of fact. Well,
okay.
Thanks everyone who listen to us today. Thank our panelists, and we'd like to thank Jeremiah, who is now part of the team here and working with us. We hope you have a good week. We're here every Sunday at 6 o'clock with the panel. And if you have questions, or you can leave them on our webpage, The Man's Voice. Go to Facebook if you like and find us and leave a message. As we go through the year, we will be hoping that more of you will call in and ask questions and get involved in our conversation. But it's been a pleasure. I want to say thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, for being here. All right.
Everybody have a
good
great,
night, everyone.
Great week.
No problem.
And
happy New Year.
Welcome to the family, Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremiah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, people. See you.
Bye-bye.
Tune us in next week, 6 o'clock.
You there, David?
Yeah.
Everybody signed off?
No.
I guess I'm just on with you. You have a good week, my friend.
You too, sir.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.